Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 82 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Chaz Jenkins.
There's significant structural damage. A pretty large hole was blown into the roof.
Authorities are investigating an explosion at a UPS facility in Lexington.
A Maysville man is facing charges after a high-speed motorcycle chase.
An eighth case of hepatitis A has been discovered in Boyd County.
Both candidates in the Rowan County clerk race call each other friends.
Moorhead City Council will hold a special meeting tomorrow.
In sports, the Vikings head to the semifinal round of the regional tournament tonight in Grayson.
Bud Luke has the stop report.
Thunderstorms likely tonight with a lows around 70 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Eight people were injured this morning when tanks carrying gasoline exploded at a Lexington business. The Lexington Police and Fire Departments, as well as the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, responded to an incident at the UPS Freight on Blue Sky Parkway just before 8 a.m. The explosion resulted in a fire which damaged walls and the roof of the building. Lexington Fire Department Battalion Chief Jason Wells tells WKYT authorities are being very careful as they investigate.
We've got some gas that's leaking inside. We're going to work on controlling that to render the structure safe to allow our folks in. There are some cylinders inside that have not been secured from the explosion, and that's what we're working on.
Wells says it's too soon in the investigation to determine if the explosion was an accident or intentional.
Kentucky authorities are investigating how an explosive device wound up in a trash can at a truck stop in Henry County. Kentucky State Police say an employee of the truck stop contacted authorities Sunday after seeing what appeared to be a 6-inch-long pipe bomb in a trash can outside the store. State police say the building was evacuated and the surrounding area was cordoned off as a safety precaution. Police say the device was later rendered safe and the truck stop reopened. Police say they have opened a case for use of a weapon of mass destruction, which is a felony. Police say no suspects have been identified.
Lexington police are investigating shots fired into a home early this morning. WKYT reports police responded to a report of robbery on East 4th Street just before 5 a.m. when police knocked on the door of the home. Someone inside told them they did not want to open the door. Moments later, a shot was fired. Investigators say no one inside the home was injured. There is not currently a description of the suspect.
A Maysville man has been indicted on several charges following a high-speed motorcycle chase. According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, 40-year-old Eric Barrett is charged with reckless driving, fleeing or evading police, wanted endangerment, among other charges. The indictment alleges Barrett led police on a high-speed chase in April, posing a serious threat to his passenger and other vehicles. Barrett was released from the Mason County Detention Center on a $5,000 bond.
A sock with bullets in it has been found at Takes Creek Elementary School in Lexington. WKYT reports a volunteer cleaning for the school's fun day found the sock on the playground. The Fayette County Public School Department of Law Enforcement later searched the surrounding area. Tate's Creek Principal Carrie Paul says staff will check the playground each day.
An Estill County man has been sentenced to 6 years in prison for theft. 30-year-old Michael Miller of Irvin was sentenced last week by Estill Circuit Judge Michael Dean. He was charged with theft by deception of $5,000 or more and being a persistent felony offender. Miller allegedly used his victim's credit card to purchase thousands of dollars of merchandise for himself.
The Federal Communications Commission has ruled against WYMT's petition to be on satellite. The Hazard Television Station reports the FCC ruled against the request last week. Neil Middleton is WYMT's general manager.
We're here for the balloon launches, for the groundbreakings, for the local high school ball games. It's because we live here too. We're your neighbors. We go to church with you. We shop in the same grocery stores. This is home for us, and it's home for you. And you ought to be able to watch your local hometown television station.
The ruling came after over 2,000 people in the state joined the petition. Middleton says the station plans to appeal the decision.
An eighth food service worker in Boyd County has been diagnosed with hepatitis A. WSAZ reports the employee at O'Charley's on River Hill Drive was diagnosed Monday. Health officials insist the risk that restaurant patrons will become infected is very low. The diagnosis is part of a multi-state outbreak. Officials say washing your hands is the best way to prevent spread of the disease.
The Carter County Health Department is unable to keep up with the demand for hepatitis A vaccinations. WSAZ reports that officials say the department has given about 800 vaccinations but is now out. The county has seen 38 confirmed cases since November, the latest just on Monday. Teresa Salyers of Grayson says she got the vaccine early on, but a friend of hers did not.
Right now, he's like 3 weeks into it, maybe four. And he just looks like death warmed over. He is gray, he's jaundiced, he's very weak.
The state funding should be available next week for those vaccinations. Local health departments will then have to order the vaccines.
The Moorhead City Council is expected to give its initial approval to the town's 2018 to 2019 budget during a special meeting tomorrow at noon. Mayor Jim Tom Trent says the nearly $14 million spending plan includes an expected $11 million in revenue, along with a nice amount of carryover funds from the current fiscal year.
We always want to make sure we have enough there to be used for any kind of disaster or any kind of emergency. For example, we began the fiscal year with a projected carryover of $3.1 million. After the audit process was completed, we were informed that the actual carryover was 3.658, so almost $3.7 million, which is $600,000 more than what we projected.
Trent believes council members will give the first go-ahead to the city's fiscal 2019 budget tomorrow. Final approval is expected to happen at the council's next regularly scheduled meeting on June 11th.
The two candidates for Rowan County Clerk call each other friends and are looking forward to meeting each other in the November election. Incumbent Republican Kim Davis believes that her race against Democrat Elwood Cottle will be issues-based, something that likely wouldn't have happened had David Ermold beaten Cottle in last week's primary. Ermold is a gay man who sued Davis in 2015 after she denied him a license to marry his partner.
It still would have been a race, but it would have probably had a different spin on it because of, the history that we have, he and I together. And I think it probably would have taken away a lot from the race itself and the issues of the race, which is running this office, with good stewardship and experience and knowledge.
Meanwhile, Cottle isn't certain yet what the key issues will be in his bid to unseat Davis.
I'm not so sure what the main thing will be because we both view it the same way. I mean, except, I will treat everyone fairly and everyone equally. And human dignity will not be, compromised in my office. So.
Cottle and Davis have squared off before at the ballot box. Davis defeated Cottle in the 2014 Democratic primary election for county clerk. We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to click it or ticket. Seatbelt use in Kentucky is 86.8%, below the national average of 90.1%. Half of those killed last year in motor vehicle crashes were not wearing a seatbelt. The Kentucky Department of Highway Safety reminds you to buckle up every trip, every time. It will save lives. Click it or ticket.
Kentucky's Labor Secretary is moving over to education. Paul Miles explains.
Governor Bevin has appointed Derek Ramsey as the Secretary of the Education and Workforce Development Cabinet. Ramsey had been Labor Secretary since Bevin took office in 2015. A former University of Kentucky and NFL player, Ramsey emphasized workplace safety education and revived Kentucky's registered apprenticeship program. He assumes the education position after the governor appointed Hal Heiner to the State Board of Education. I'm Paul Miles.
The Mason County Library Board has been discussing how to best expand the facility. The Maysville Ledger-Independent says board members recently talked about possible plans for the project, including adding nearly 4,000 square feet to the structure, along with constructing a second building. Director Valerie Zemter, who retires at the end of September, expects the initiative to keep her replacement, Steve Parrott, very busy.
I think he'll earn every penny of his salary being concerned with that, because it's a huge job to move a library and then move it back, if that's what comes to pass. And just, you know, the myriad details of setting up a new space.
Early estimates say it will cost about $3 million to expand the Mason County Library. Zemter says the library board already has that money in the bank. She hopes the projects can begin in November.
A partnership between the University of Kentucky and Kroger will benefit the Lexington City Parks project. Spectrum News reports the pair announced an initiative to donate funds to renovate community fields in Kentucky each year. The first award of $25,000 will go to Castlewood Park and Kirkovington Park in Lexington. UK football alum Jeremy Jarman was on the committee that chose those parks. He says the funds will allow for needed repairs.
Sometimes this field, with inclement weather, there would be some delays and things like that where all the fields couldn't be actively used. And we feel that by being able to come out and repair some of this, we're hoping to be able to pull more kids from the community to be able to participate here throughout the fall, throughout the summer, whether there's rain or not. So, proper drainage, expansion, those type of things.
Jarman says the donation will contribute to the expansion of sports in the neighborhood.
With summer weather and outdoor activities comes a risk of dehydration, especially among young children. According to Norton Children's Health and Wellness Coordinator Nikki Boyd, parents and coaches need to ensure that their children are drinking water while playing outside. Boyd advises parents to add fruits and vegetables to water as a healthy alternative to sugary drinks.
You can get some of the fiber from some of the fruit that you're putting in there. It's just natural sugar. It's not that processed stuff that's not good for our bodies.
Another way to encourage children to drink water is to buy them a reusable water bottle and allow them to decorate it.
Looking at the weather tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms, lows around 70 degrees, chance of rain at 50%. Thursday, thunderstorms likely, highs around 86 degrees, chance of rain is at 80%. Thursday night, thunderstorms likely in the evening, then the chance of scattered thunderstorms later on, lows around 69, chance of rain again is at 80%. Friday, cloudy early, scattered thunderstorms developing later in the day, highs around 84 degrees, chance of rain is at 40%. Friday night, thunderstorms during the evening, then skies turning partly cloudy overnight, lows near 65 degrees, chance of rain once more is at 80%. Looking at the listening area temperatures, Flemingsburg 78 degrees, Lexington 81 degrees, Ashland 82 degrees, Winchester 80 degrees, Inez 74 degrees, Mount Sterling 81 degrees, and in Moorhead it's 82 degrees.
Back in April, a group of riders from area high schools came to the campus of Moorhead State University for a Riders Day Out, a program sponsored by the Moorhead Writing Project. Each week, we're featuring authors and the pieces they created that day. On our feature segment today, we hear from Holly Newton and Hallie Adams.
Hello, my name is Holly Newton. I'm a freshman at Round County Senior High School, and my piece is called Start Again. Taking a deep breath, I stared at the lit fire pit in front of me. I decided to get rid of you. I wanted to no longer feel you creeping under my skin. I want to no longer feel you in my bones. I want to no longer let you be a thought always in the back of my mind. You tire me out. I'm not the same since you. I want to renew myself. I want to shed my skin cells and tear you out of my bones. I want to change. So I breathe once more and throw everything into the fire to start again.
Hi, my name is Hallie Adams. I'm from Fleming County High School. I will be reading my story called Jacqueline Hyde. There was a desert wind blowing that might then write I met my one and only. But something was different about him, something that set him apart from the others. His smell, his eyes, his shoulders, his perfect voice, as if a goddess formed him from the perfect amount of clay and just the right amount of magic. The wind started blowing harder and harder, me getting closer to him, inch by inch, wanting to talk to him, but with him, lay in a bed all night and watch movies that both of us think are stupid. He looked at me and I looked at him. He reached a delicate hand on my cheek, a touch like I was a glass doll, and a little touch would shatter me. He slowly leaned his head towards mine, and I did as well as my eyes fluttered shut, but I stopped. Was this really what I want? I questioned myself. I opened my eyes to see him looking at me with worry and concern. This can't be real, I whispered. You are too perfect for this. This moment's too perfect. I doubted myself. I kept repeating it over and over again in my head. I was thrown out of my thoughts as two rough hands were placed on both sides of my face. I looked to see him, and only him. He smiled with a twinkle in his eyes as he whispered into my ear, "Oh, darling, you are too clever." My face turned white, and I pulled away. Jumping out of the bed like a bolt of lightning, I skipped steps to hide. I walked into the kitchen. I was quiet, too quiet. A hand grabbed me. It was his, but really him this time. "What the heck, Jason?" I shouted, being scared half to death. "What are you doing here? It is almost midnight. You asked me to come over here, remember? You texted me like an hour ago, saying your parents left for the weekend and to come over." He snapped back. "No, I didn't. I don't even remember where my phone is." I started looking for it. "Come on, we can look for it later. Let's just hang out," he said, sliding his hands around me, pulling me into his kiss. But something was still uneasy. He got closer and closer, my face turning red. "I can't do this. This can't be real."
That was Hallie Adams of Flemingetti High School, and before that, Holly Newton from Rowan County Senior High School. It's 4:46 and 82 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Chaz Jenkins, and we're so glad to have you with us as we come to you live from the Larry Netherton Studios here in Breckenridge Hall. Braxton Howard has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the city of Morehead, home to Morehead State University, St. Clair Healthcare, and Morehead Conference Center. The City of Morehead supports efforts to encourage community livability, economic prosperity, and cultural outreach. Facebook and online at morehead-ky.gov.
Washington returns. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. P.J. Washington has just announced that he will return to Kentucky for his sophomore season. Washington entered the NBA draft combine without signing an agent. UK is still waiting to hear the draft decisions of Jared Vanderbilt and Wenyen Gabriel. They have until 11:59 tonight to make those announcements. Some college basketball notes. Stanford's Reed Travis has withdrawn from the NBA but will transfer to a new school. ESPN is reporting that Kentucky is the heavy favorite to land the big man. Travis averaged 20 points and 9 rebounds a game last season at Stanford. He has already graduated, but because a leg injury caused him to miss his entire sophomore season, he has 1 year of eligibility left and would be immediately eligible at his new school. Elsewhere, Amari Spellman announced he is staying in the NBA draft, meaning Villanova has lost 4 of its 5 starters from last season's national championship team. UCLA's Jalen Hands is returning to school for his sophomore season, and Missouri's Jontay Porter is also returning to school. Semifinal action is on deck this evening in the 16th Region Baseball Tournament in Grayson. Round County's 29-6 Vikings meet Russell in the 5:30 game. Coach Scott Collins says the smaller ballpark at East Carter High School could be a wild card factor in how the contest plays out.
It can go both ways. You know, it can go against you or it can be, you know, it can help you. Our offense, you know, I think we're fine with it. But then again, like I said, that one fly ball that, you know, may be caught in some other parks, you know, may get out on you. So, you know, it can go both ways.
In the second contest, Boyd County will look to upend 34-5 Greenup County. Boyd coach Brandon Ramsey believes the Lions pitchers will give them the chance to do that.
We've been inconsistent at times, but a lot of guys have been throwing well late, and if that continues, we've got a real shot.
Tonight's winners will meet tomorrow evening at 6 to decide the championship. Also tonight in the 16th Region Softball Tournament, semifinal action takes place in Raceland. First at 6, 28-9 Raceland will look to end East Carter's undefeated season, followed by 27-9 Boyd County battling 20-9 Russell. Tonight's winners will also meet tomorrow for the championship. The Morehead State Baseball Eagles are going into this year's NCAA tournament with an underdog mindset. In preparing for Friday's visit to 5th-ranked Clemson for the opener of the regional action, Coach Mike McGuire is telling his players to embrace that role.
We're a blue-collar program. You know, every program we're going to play in this regional has nicer and flashier things than we have. but I'm not sure they're going to have more heart or, you know, better work habits than our guys have, and I think that's the key to our success.
The 37-24 Eagles face Clemson at 6 p.m. Friday as part of the double elimination regional. Vanderbilt takes on St. John's in the other contest. The Cincinnati Reds are in the process of wrapping up their series with Arizona at Chase Field in Phoenix. Right now, Arizona leads 3-0 in the third inning. Sal Romano is on the mound for Cincy. The Reds started the day with a 19-37 record, but interim manager Jim Riggleman continues to be impressed by the effort of his guys.
I'll take the intensity that we get. Guys are playing hard. They're not blowing it off as a loss. They're getting after it every day, pregame and during the game. The energy in the dugout and so forth. It's all good. It's just we gotta do something to get over the hump.
And another Reds note: the National League has named second baseman Scooter Jeanette as its Player of the Week. Jeanette hit 500 last week with 3 home runs and 10 RBIs. Meanwhile, the Reds may be making a change to their starting pitching rotation. After a horrible month of May and with a record of just 1-7 this year, Homer Bailey is expected to be moved to the bullpen. Manager Jim Riggleman says while that's the plan, things could change.
What we're telling Homer is that his next start in San Diego, as of now, he would not be making that start. We'll use him out of the bullpen, and things are fluid. Things change all the time. Somebody can't do whatever, they can't make it because of physical issues or whatever. But right now, if things stay the way they are now, we'll have Homer in the bullpen.
Meanwhile, the Reds activated closer Rossiel Iglesias from the 10-day disabled list earlier today. Other scores from around baseball this afternoon: Boston beat Toronto 6-4, Cleveland blew out the White Sox 9-1, and Milwaukee leads St. Louis 3-2, currently in the 8th inning. The NBA Finals tip off tomorrow in Oakland as the Golden State Warriors host the Cleveland Cavaliers. This will be the fourth straight year the two teams have faced off for the title, with the Warriors winning 2 of the previous 3. Golden State, though, could be without one of their key pieces in tomorrow's game. 2015 Finals MVP Andre Iguodala has been out since Game 3 of the Western Conference Finals with a knee injury. Warriors coach Steve Kerr says not having Iguodala would obviously be a big loss.
It literally is a day-to-day thing, but he has not progressed, unfortunately, as well as we thought he would. And obviously, he's a huge factor against Cleveland. You got to have a lot of bodies to guard LeBron, and Andre's been our main guy against them against LeBron the last 3 years. So we'll just have to see, if he's available.
Meanwhile, Cleveland could be without All-Star forward Kevin Love, who remains in the concussion protocol and is questionable for Game 1. Meanwhile, on a bizarre story from the NBA, the Philadelphia 76ers have launched an investigation into President of Basketball Operations Brian Colangelo's Twitter usage after a report by The Ringer suggests Colangelo was using fake Twitter accounts to criticize the team's players. A report showed circumstantial evidence that Colangelo had 5 fake Twitter accounts that he used to take shots at some of the team's players, including big man Joel Embiid and number 1 pick Markelle Fultz, as well as former Sixers Jahlil Okafor and Nerlens Noel. Colangelo has admitted to running one of the accounts, but is denying being behind the other 4. Finally, in sports, horse racing's top coat is getting serious as he prepares for the upcoming Belmont Stakes. Paul Miles reports on that.
The Kentucky Derby and Preakness winner had his first workout since returning to Churchill Downs. The colt turned in a rapid half-mile breeze under the watch of trainer Bob Baffert.
That's what you want to see. I want to see that kind of work. I was hoping for that kind of work, just like American Pharoah. When he came back here, he looked like that.
Baffert says Justify will have one final workout early next week before shipping to New York for the June 9th Belmont. I'm Paul Miles.
And that's a look at sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball will host a father-child camp on June 9th, an Eagle Day camp June 11th through 14th, and Morehead State team camp June 22nd through 24th. More information by calling the men's basketball office at 783-5140 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. stocks rebounded sharply as financial stocks in particular rebounded from steep losses in the prior session, and the Italian credit fears eased, and the Dow Industrials finished with a gain of 306.33, or 1.25%, to close at 24,667.78. The S&P 500 added 1.27%. To finish at 2724.01, and the NASDAQ Composite was up nearly a full percent amid gains in Facebook, Intel, and NVIDIA. The Russell 2000 Small Cap Index added 1.5% to finish at 1647.99, and this is a new record for the Small Cap Index. The comeback in equities came as European markets stabilized, with the stocks Europe 600 index finishing up about 0.2%, while Italy's Financial Times MIB index, which was down 2.5% yesterday, rallied 2%. Though far from its highs above 3% in recent weeks, the U.S. 10-year Treasury, the benchmark Treasury note, itself rose 7 basis points today to finish at 2.84%. And this uptick in rates appeared to push the big banks upward, with Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, Morgan Stanley, and Bank of America all up more than 1%. Crude oil futures were higher, with West Texas Intermediate finishing up about $1.50, or $2.20 a barrel, at $68.27 a barrel, and the Energy Select Spider exchange-traded fund rose 3%, which was its best day since April the 10th. Dick's Sporting Goods jumped 25% after the company beat first-quarter expectations and boosted its earnings forecast. The move was Dick's Sporting Goods' largest one-day surge ever. And in economic news, hiring decelerated in the month of May, with the ADP report showing that private companies added 178,000 positions, even amid other signs of a tightening jobs market, and this was, of course, less than had been expected going into the report. As mentioned in the commodities markets, oil finishing up over 2% today, helping to give a boost to the energy sector. And in the Far East, stocks were actually weak, as in the Far East, they were still being affected by the Italian fallout. The Nikkei average was down 1.5%, while the Shanghai Composite was down 2.5%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 49 cents at $78.39, CSX up $1.64 at $65.64, Marathon Petroleum up $1.96 at $79.57, AEP up 40 cents at $68.02, AK Steel up 17 cents at $4.59, and Anthem was up $2.34 to finish at $231.63. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. Located on Triplett Street near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for recyclables. Funded in part through a grant from the Kentucky Division of Waste Management, an additional green trailer rotates among Elliottville, Farmers, Hayes Crossing, and the MMRC Fire Department on Kentucky 801 North. The rotating trailer schedule is online at moorheadrecycling.org.
Looking at the weather tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms, lows around 70 degrees, chance of rain at 50%. Thursday, thunderstorms likely, highs around 86 degrees, chance of rain at 80%. Thursday night, thunderstorms likely in the evening, then the chance of scattered thunderstorms later on, lows around 69 degrees, chance of rain is at 80%. And on Friday, cloudy early, scattered thunderstorms developing later in the day, highs around 84 degrees, chance of rain at 40%.
A quick addition to our sports cast, the 16th regional softball semifinals have been postponed due to weather. For now, baseball games will still be played. Taking a look at some events coming up in your region, the Rowland County Arts Center will host a summer arts camp for children in kindergarten through 5th grade from 1 to 4 p.m. the week of June 11th through 15th. The cost is $7 per day or $30 for the week. Supplies and snacks are provided. More information is available by calling 783-9857.
The Moorhead Theater Guild will present Arthur Miller's The Crucible at the Round County Arts Center. The play will be staged the weekends of July 6th through 8th and July 13th through 15th, 7:30 p.m. on Fridays and Saturdays, and 2 p.m. on Sundays. Tickets are now on sale at the Round County Arts Center, $10 for adults and $5 for children.
St. Clair Healthcare will offer a series of social skill builder camps to help preschool through 6th grade students. Licensed occupational therapists will lead to sessions designed to help children with various social skills. Camps will be held June 18th through the 20th at the Center for Health Education Research in Moorhead. Applications are accepted through June the 4th. More information at 783-7780. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Moraz, Jacob Lindberg, Logan Pemberton, Cody Robinson, Tilden Johnson, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, and Braxton Howard. Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke chipped in, and our feature segment today came from Moorhead Writing Project's Writer's Day Out. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH9S. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Chaz Jenkins and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next.